What's going on, guys? We're back for another podcast. It has been a little bit since I did a podcast, but I got a really good guest named Sebastian Good from Fast Buds, and we're going to learn a lot about Fast Buds, a lot about what he's up to, and a lot of, like, how we're alike, considering we're both from Europe. You know, I'm from Romania, and where are you from?
Well, I'm from Germany originally, now living in Spain, though.
Very cool. So you've been to Spanibus, obviously.
Yeah, I've been to Spanibus a few times for sure. It's an amazing expo, man.
Very cool. So tell me a little bit about, like, the European side of cannabis, you know, enlighten me, like, how it is over there.
Well, I mean, obviously, we are not quite as far as you are on the other side of the pond, you know, with Canada being fully legal, Uruguay being fully legal, Mexico is getting there, and then, I mean, countless states right now, no, by now, are legal over there. Here in Spain, we have a little bit more of a real cannabis culture, even though it is not 100% legal. There is like a club system. So consuming for your own personal use is not illegal. But in going out on the street, having weed on you, that again is illegal. You know, so it's a bit strange here. So, but of course, there are some other countries like Luxembourg by now and Malta, which are legal, and Germany is on the verge to become legal. Let's really hope that they're going to get through with it next year.
Now, you guys have, like, Spanibus, and how does that work with the legalization but not legalization of it, where you can and cannot smoke? Like, how is that promoted then?
You're right. This is really funny. So we have clubs. We have, like, social clubs, which could be described as almost dispensaries, but you have to be a member, and you basically have to sign up and find, like, fill out a form which is gonna tell you on or them how much they can grow for you, kind of. So yeah. It's like because in a private club, in a private atmosphere, they're not allowed to sell you anything. So, like, you basically give contributions to growing it. So it's like a very gray area in that sense. And then you have events like Spanibus, where, you know, they have security and they tell you maybe sometimes, so, hey, stop smoking inside, you know, like, don't do that. But nobody says really anything. Like, there is huge amounts of weed and dabs and everything going on during the fair and when the expo is over. So at night, everybody moves into the city, which is about 2-3 miles away from the fairgrounds, and there is, I don't know, like 100-something clubs, social clubs, where there's tons of events going on always during Spanibus, the entire week.
That's so interesting. And that's kind of like, in a way, it is here, like in Virginia, for instance. You can have 4 plants, right? Mm-hmm. Technically, you can have 2 in flower and 2 in veg. But, you know, it's like, that's kind of impossible, especially if you grow in one area. You can have it on you, no more than 1 ounce. You can't sell it to anybody. You can't buy it anywhere. But you can possess it. You know what I mean? And you can smoke it, not in public, and like... Like, you can smoke, like, pretty much wherever you want, technically, but, like, let's say you were out at a storefront, you know, the cops could get called, and you get, like a fine that's no more than, like a walking in traffic ticket, you know what I mean? So it's very, very small, it's like $25, but it is weird how it's, like, we're allowed to have it, but we're not allowed to have it, we're allowed to share it, but we're not allowed to like, you know, sell it, you know, it's just so weird how... It exists, but it's not allowed to exist.
Absolutely. But the benefit of this is that it is still not regulated over here, you know, or where you are. So once it's overregulated, that also comes with, like, other kind of troubles, you know, in a sense. In Germany, for example, they now want to tell that the 18 to 21 year olds are not allowed to have stronger weed than 10% THC, like, completely idiotic. Wow. Totally idiotic rules, because how is anybody supposed to test that? You know, that's just impossible.
Well, and considering that, if you look at most, like, online seed banks and stuff, you know, people are looking for, like, 15 and over, you know what I mean? Like, 10% is very on a low scale. It's more like a CBD almost versus actually, like, full THC.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, FastBuds, for example, has a CBD / THC strain. It's CBD THC 1:1. And yes, that has more or less 10%. And yeah, I mean, all I'm saying in general is that this over-regulating and like trying to, people who don't, who are not in the know, trying to make a sense out of it and how to legalize. Yeah. That's just like what the issue is. But I didn't even know that in Virginia you can have some plants in your house. And that, I mean, that's kind of cool. That opens my world up. Maybe I'm coming to Virginia.
You know what? I mean, you can go to other states like Michigan. You can have 12 plants in your house. And if you get a caregiver's license, as long as I think, don't hold me to this, but as long as you identify like how many people you're taking care of, you can multiply that number. So like, you know, as long as you're giving out free weed, they'll let you grow as much as you want, you know, as long as it's a caregiver license, you know. So yeah, no, the United States has definitely opened up. I never thought personally Virginia would be one of the first states on the East Coast like this to open up, but then again, we are a tobacco, you know, we're known for tobacco, so we're already a growing state, and it kind of just makes sense. But you know, back to your thing on the whole regulation, there still really is no regulation on us with cannabis. They're still trying to figure that out. We're not even allowed to have a dispensary here until at least 2024 when they're going to allow sales, you know. And what's one thing that I do like, though, is that they're trying to open it up to people who have marijuana crimes before to give them a chance to open up in business. It's like kind of like a redemption thing, which I think is cool. And when you're starting a market, you really need those who understand the market value of what you're dealing with versus a bunch of people who have never smoked before. They don't know the lifestyle, the culture. And you know, it's kind of funny you mentioned in Germany about the regulation, but in your country, you can drink at 14, right? Or like 16, 16. Go to a 16. Bar. All right. So, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I can get alcohol poisoning by going to the bar, getting drunk, you know, throwing up, crashing a car, ruining my life. But hey, if you get too stoned, you just might pass out. You know what I mean?
Well, like, we don't have a lobby. That's our problem, man. I always keep on repeating it. Like, we don't have a lobby. That's why we have to do what we are doing here right now. And thanks for inviting me here to talk, you know. And all the people who are doing this, like Matt from Icann THC, Hi Again, Grower Joe.
Yeah, Hi Again.
You name them. Yeah, all of them. I love them just for not only they're amazing people, but also they speak up. They you know, they make it clear that it's not okay and that we have to be our own lobby, even, you know. So it's a bit tragic.
Yeah, and that's what Smoke Bushes is all about. It's bringing unbiased information, you know, from the community, by the community, essentially, to the viewers, you know, so they can truly understand, you know, what's it like in another country? You know, we don't talk about that. We all only talking about the United States, and that's where we're from. You know what I mean? So to not only hear what's happening here, but also to what's happening there, it's a great way for us to network ideas and solutions and, you know, how to set up a lobby or, you know, like an American Germanized lobby, you know, that's helping you guys set up. You know, it's all about bringing us together, you know, and I think that's maybe part of the problem, too, is it's such a communal drug. It might just end of the war, you know? Like, imagine all those people were smoking weed, you know? They're like, oh, we don't want to do that. That's going to take too much effort.
That's silly. Yeah. Let's chill.
I'm hungry. So, FastBuds, tell me a little bit about FastBuds.
Before I do that, is this a non-consuming show or is this a consuming show? Am I allowed
to turn
my packs on or not?
Go for it. Yeah. No, I'm still trying to figure out a way to smoke through the mask. If I smoke through the mask, it'll leave a nasty brown spot, you know what I mean? And then all this nasty, like, circle in the front of my face the whole day.
You need to get, like, a little hole in there and then maybe you can just, like, take, like, one of them.
Yeah, okay, right.
And then I'll kind of start.
Go for it, dude. Yeah, no, I am the type of guy that I smoke when I wake up, I smoke when I eat breakfast, I smoke before I go out for the day, I smoke when I get to wherever I'm going, I smoke when I leave wherever I'm going, I smoke when I get home, I smoke before I go to bed, you know, like, I'm pretty much stoned 24/7, but it works for me. You know, I own several different companies, and I'm on the go 24/7 with traveling and working. So there is really no downtime for me. So it's kind of one of those things. Well, I can't drink, and that's why, you know, I get so bent up on this whole alcohol thing. Like, it's here, it's promoted, and obviously in Germany, it's promoted. You know, it's one of the best places for beer. But you know, it's just like, we can have one poison, but we can't, quote unquote, have another. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know what I mean? Because they honestly, they go together, you know? And if you want to talk about making money, you sell beer and weed, you'll not only mellow out the guys that want to fight after they're done drinking, but you'll make more money, you know?
Absolutely. But, I mean, yeah. I'm all for it. And as I said, like, I'm really trying to normalize it, because it's not just the legalization, it's also the destigmatization, which is really important. And then I also think that, yeah, we have to do it together, because without doing it. And that's why I'm always consuming also on these lives and stuff. I know some, that's why I ask, because some are like, nah, I'm a little bit afraid that I'm going to be, you know, shadow banned, or I'm going to be like flagged or something. I mean, we can't just, it's not like I'm shooting up here. No, I'm inhaling a little bit of vapor, not even smoke, because I used to smoke a lot, and also cigarettes, unfortunately. And I got sick one time and I couldn't smoke. I literally couldn't smoke for like 10 days. And then afterwards I said, I'm going to switch now to the vapor, because that way I got completely off the tobacco, and that just changed my life entirely. I'm like, feel so much healthier and better now.
That's awesome. Yeah, I actually stopped smoking cigarettes and started smoking weed, because I've only been around weed since I was 23 years old. I'm about to be 35 now, so a little bit over 10 years. And I was like, wait a minute, I can get high and smoke? Like, well, fuck this shit, you know, like, this doesn't give me anything. Like, you know, I just feel more stressed after smoking. You know, I'm supposed to cut down my stress. But you know, that's one thing. You know, actually, when I first started smoking, I actually used to get so paranoid I couldn't do hardly anything. I had to like sit down or go to sleep, wait for it to wear off. And I was like, well, if all my friends are enjoying this, then what the fuck? So, you know, kind of worked through. And then that's also when I got into psychedelics and a whole bunch of other stuff. And, you know, it was cool because, you know, throughout it all, whether it's cannabis or psychedelics, the community is very much the same. And being at, like, different outdoor festivals and stuff like that is really spiritual in a way, because I definitely feel like, you know, I would say that psychedelics aren't for everybody. You know, I've always had like really good trips, so I've never had anything bad happen. But I have seen people in the middle of the moonlight, literally running down the hill, screaming to God for somebody to save them. You know what I mean? And I'm it's like, you know, this one time we were at this, it's called Jerry Garcia Farm, and it's and they have like music festivals, and it's cool because instead of like EDM music, which I do like EDM music, but they have all like bands, like actual like hippie bands, psychedelic bands. So like, and they'll jam out all fucking night. This one girl who was probably like 4'8", skinny as fuck, sung like Janis Joplin. Like, I mean, just like, she was probably tripping balls, but I mean, just such good music. And I'm on a bunch of acid, and I'm walking around, and I find this guy who's sitting on one of the cabin steps, right? And he's crying. And I'm like, you know, I'm here tripping balls, and here's this guy crying. You know what I mean? So I started talking to him, and like, he only had like literally two teeth. And he started talking about how like he hated his life, and that everybody looks at him like a clown and everything, and that if he can't get his life together, that he was pretty much going to off himself. So I was like, you know, come from a different perspective, you know, instead of just like sitting here and feeling bad for yourself, you know, what are some things you can do, you know, to get to where you want to be? Because, you know, obviously it's not doing what you're doing. And it was just kind of interesting, because it's just like, it just shows you, I think, the difference in mindset, you know what I mean? And I think that's very important when it comes to like psychedelics or even smoking, especially if it's your first time. You definitely want to be in a position where you're comfortable, you know? And I think that's that really plays a big role into having a good time, you know. And I don't know whatever happened to that guy, but it was just such a weird concept. Like, you know, here I am stoned out of my mind, you know, tripping balls, and here this guy is, you know, just sitting on his stuff, and I'm just like, what? Like, at the same party? You know, like, how could you be upset? You know, there's weed everywhere. You know, it was cool. They had this big shelf, and they had moonshine all lined up, and you could literally just go over there, undo one of the mason jars, and pour yourself a glass of, like, moonshine, and it was just for everybody. Like, I mean, that's the type of stuff that, you know, you see, and that's what I love. You know, it's just that community.
Absolutely. I mean, especially if it's like something with the edge to it and something like alternative and with some great music. And then to me, psychedelics are much more a tool in a sense, you know, especially mushrooms are like, they can really change your perspective if you go with the right mindset, you know. Like back in the day when I was like, you know, in my teens and early 20s is when I was going really hard on whatever, everything. But that was a different. I partied. I had fun. I had, like, you know. And now for me, psychedelics, like especially mushrooms, I'm getting more and more interested in. They do offer you a very different insight on yourself. And maybe you can reflect on things. And of course, if you want to have fun. But for me, the fun is like now. Now I had a nice pack with like a little bit of a sativa kind of weed. And I have a few sips of wine, and now we're going to chat away. This is like, for me, that's different. Like, I am not, like, some people, they smoke, they consume cannabis, and they're like, you know, chill. Even an indica, it has to be really, really, really long, ripened indica, which I let even, you know, a lot of the THC go into this becoming CBN. Then I maybe get those effects. And I'm chasing that right now for my next runs. I need to have a couple of herbs for me like that, which help me to shut off. But normally speaking, this stuff, like a nice packs, and then at night when I'm hanging out or want a party or something with a couple of, you know, a little bit of little glass of wine, for me that's like, woo, I'm like up, I'm high. I'm like, you know, I'm really what other people might need to take way stronger drugs, you know, for that. For me, this is like the sweet spot, kind of, you know, and I'm always trying to hit my sweet spot to be in a good place.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that sweet spot's going to be different for everybody, and that's kind of like what you got to know is, like, you know, what works for you, you know, what's too much for you, because in that way, you can enjoy the longevity of these, you know, like you said, tools or resources or, you know, natural herbs and spices, if you will, you know, and I think, you know, the value is that mindset. So, you know, talking about that, you know, strains and everything, I've actually grown several of FastBud genetics. I've done the, I have a list here. Oh, I can't recognize my face. Imagine that. I need to redo that.
Isn't that the whole point?
So we did, when I first started growing, it was technically still illegal here in Virginia. Okay. This room actually used to be full of tents. I had one 5x5, a 4x4 over here, and the 3x3 in the corner. And on our first grow series, which you can kind of see it all set up, we actually did 4.2 pounds in that that 5x5 with four plants. It was awesome.
Sounds fun.
You know, you can do a lot in a small room, but when I first started doing this, it was like a huge secret. I didn't tell anybody, you know, there was no like social media, there was no YouTube, there was no like getting out there, there was no product line, you know, nothing like that. And as I got more and more into growing, you know, obviously you meet other growers and people that are like you and, you know, are interested in things like you. So it kind of evolved. And then once it became legal in July of the next year, it was like game on. And one of the first seeds packs that we did were the LSD Autos by you guys and the Gorilla Cookies. And the Gorilla Cookies, I remember specifically because when I was trimming those, it literally looked like dust was just falling off my plant as I was trimming it. Like, it just like showered down. It was probably still one of the crystalliest autoflowers I've ever done, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Gorilla Cookies. I mean, everybody who out auto flowers, you know, they are a great tool. And if you have, like, you know, I know people who just grow them in between their photos, and of course people just run autos completely, and everybody will tell you that the Gorilla Cookies is the strain to grow. I really only grew her personally like twice, and she was nice, but it didn't take off for me personally, because I'm always growing other strains, new strains. I'm like never rerunning everything. I'm testing constantly, you know, I'm having to constantly different. And just once in a while, I throw another one just for my personal stash again in there, you know. But yeah, the Gorilla Cookies, everybody who knows Fastbuds and who grew her will tell you that's probably one of the best autos they ever grew.
It was, and what's even cooler was, you know, I started buying my seeds from Seedsman. You know, that's like the first site I ever heard about. And I liked it, you know, because not only do you get free seeds with your orders, but it was like the most, like, best deal for seeds that I could find. Because, you know, I love growing marijuana, but I don't like their site because mainly you have set options and you can only get those options. You can't, like, pick and choose. Like, I couldn't get, like, one seed of this and three seeds of that and 10 seeds of this. You know what I mean? It's just like a 4-pack of 10 seeds each or 2 seeds, you know? So, but it was cool because, you know, what's funny is when I started growing weed, I knew nothing really about growing at all. I was watching YouTube and trying to figure out everything, and I didn't even know where the bud was going to come from, like, on the plant. Like, I literally thought it was the leaves, that you collected the leaves and then you ground the leaves down. That's how, like, you know, ignorant I was back in the day. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, how much I've learned in just the almost 2 years now, because that was 2021, and just the amount of opportunity there is for learning. If you open your mind, there's so much you can learn. You're never going to learn it all. And that's why, you know, it's important to get on here and talk to people out of country or out of state or different perspectives or different growing habits, because that information, whether you want to, like, go that way or not, is so beneficial because it teaches you so much about the resiliency of the plant and how well adapted it is to different environments, different setups. You know, there truly is, like, a million ways to screw in a light bulb. There's a million ways to grow weed.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the whole best thing. That's what you never learn enough, you know? Like, you can't learn enough. And, you know, if you know, you think everything works out perfectly, then do something disruptive, you know? Because then you're just gonna learn more. That's how my approach to growing or in life in general is, I guess, you know? Like, and especially with growing, it's just such fun to see plants grow up, you know? And yes, autos make it super easy nowadays, you know? That's how a lot of people I know started, you know? And everybody tells you, oh, no, don't start with autos, don't start with autos. No, do start with autos. They teach you a lot of things about the plant, you know? And you are not the one who is going to decide when the flowering is going to start. So that makes it a bit more challenging in that sense, you know? But not really if you don't know what you're doing.
So, as a tester and somebody that's always looking for something new, obviously seeing millions and millions of plants, like today with all, like, your experience and your knowledge behind you, what really sparks your interest of, like, a pheno or a plant that you're working with? Like, what for you are you looking for? Because everybody's looking for something different.
Well, I look for terps for sure.
Sorry, you're a flavor chaser.
I'm going to be overtaken. Sorry.
Oh, we're definitely going to keep this in the podcast.
Yeah, sorry. I need to...
That's awesome.
No, it's not, because we live in, like, a farmish area, like on an avocado farm. So, and...
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Definitely, that's fun. It's temporary. You know, we're renting this right now, but it's an amazing place to be for now. But yes, sometimes there's a lot of flies. Anyways, what you were saying, man. Oh, what am I going for? I'm going for terps, for terps, terps, terps. But I am very small scale. I'm very, very little involved in the actual Fastbuds breeding process or anything. You know, I'm not on that end. For me, for myself, I've been growing for about 10 years. I've, like, had contact with the plant a little bit, like with the actual plant when I was like a teenager, and then never really again until 10 years ago. So like for like 10 years, I didn't. I mean, I always consumed cannabis, but I'm down the line. I'm testing loads of stuff and sometimes breeding just once, just for myself, just to find maybe. Oh, and then test them again. But I'm always gonna go for terps. Always gonna go for terps, and I'm always wanna try to make an auto version of something too, because I like the idea behind that.
And what's that idea behind that?
The quick turnaround. I mean, you don't have to. Everybody tells you, with clones you're so much faster. Of course you can be fast, but for the clone to root and to come in that stage, in that time, the autoflower plant is already this tall as well, you know, so you're not really. And then the autoflower is going to take off and can be done within 8 weeks, 9 weeks. And that's just something which is amazing.
Days, 65 days. I mean, and that, and when I first started growing, I actually didn't know the difference between autoflowers and photoperiods. So I was like, I don't get it. Why are some of these plants flowering and the other ones not flowering? I was like, I'm doing something wrong. And then I was like, oh, wait, there are two different types of plants. You know what I mean? So it was like a whole learning experience. But
what were you running? What schedule? Did you have them running on 18-6 then?
Yep, 18-6. And then we had them. And what I would do is I would start in 3 gallons. And then right when we went to flower, I would transplant them into 5 gallons. And then I would let them go. And I've had great success. I've also had really great success. So Madman Plant, we're a 3D printed manufacturer of garden tools and smoking accessories. Plus, we teach home growers how to grow. So my platform is all motivation, education, and inspiration. So everything we do is more of an education background. And then we also have products that people can buy and use in their garden, or they can smoke with, such as this. This is one of our high jars, and I can definitely send you guys one of these to test it out. Yeah. But we actually have like 6 different tops, and spoiler, we have a Christmas version and new styles, new shapes, new everything coming out. So what's cool is it comes with a rubber seal, so perfectly sealed. It comes with your glass down piece, your bowl piece, and then you just add your weed and you're starting to smoke in no time. And it's awesome because you can travel with it. We also have a 3-piece one that goes down. But,
look what I got to put in there. I show you what I'm going to put in there. Do you know I don't smoke? But you can do this.
Oh, dude, perfect.
For the packs. You turn the packs and you put it in boost mode. So you put it in a really high setting and then you put it in and then it's really nice.
So you really like the packs? You find it easy to clean and easy to use?
Exactly. That's what it is. To use, easy to clean, it lasts long, it's very small, and I am not a ripper, I'm a sipper. I always utilized, like to use smoke joints, smoke cigarettes, I never was ripping bongs or anything, never really. So
we're different.
For me, that is then, and when if I want to take a rip nowadays of something, then a dab, like a good dab.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's just no combustion. That's just like, bam, terpenes and cannabinoids. And that is it. That's what you get in your lung. And then the taste is amazing of that. I love that.
Yeah. Harvesting. Lace! Sorry, the dogs are barking. Don't want it in the audio.
I understand.
No, definitely. I definitely agree because I smoke a lot of weed. I mean, a lot. And there's a reason why I have to grow. I don't even like sell. I just mainly grow for myself, and I can barely keep up with myself. That's why sometimes I'm playing back to back with harvests. I got to spare my shit out before I get another harvest. But I have always been like a stone to the bone type dude. Like if I'm going to smoke, I want to get blasted. But I'm always, technically worried about my health and my lungs and make sure that, it's kind of like a race car. If you're going to go out there and floor it, you might want to make sure like the engine's good and it's not going to blow up, because if the engine blows up, the car doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? You got to treat yourself like that. If you're going to do things that, have been known to cause problems, whether you like it or not, it's good to get checked out. And luckily I've been free and clear. And the doctor actually was like, he's like, you came here to get checked out, to make sure your lungs were healthy so you could continue to smoke weed. And I was like, yes, I did. And he's like, that's a first. And I was like, I don't want to die, you know. And if something is wrong, I want to catch it immediately because I don't, you know, like, if you do it early enough, there's time, you know. If you wait, like, unfortunately, some people, you find out, like, oh, you know, it's stage four and there's nothing you can do. Plus, yeah. I do believe that. Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry. It's absolutely smart. It's the right thing to do, you know. I mean, you have to check up on yourself, you know, and make sure that you are okay. And I really knew that's why I stopped smoking, because it was just in that moment that I'm like, I'm not going to restart this. Because I always said to people who would stop during when they just had a little cough or so, and they would say, oh, I can't smoke. And then they would just stop for a week or two, and then they would just restart and just like, that's just stupid. I don't know. I was so addicted to the nicotine part of it that's why I think that turned me off much more than the weed, you know. And back in the day in Germany, you would never just smoke pure weed. You would always just like smoke spliffs, you know.
Yeah, well, and also with cigarettes, you're dealing with chemicals and all types of shit, you know. And that's the beautiful thing about cannabis is if you grow it yourself and you know what's in it, it's all natural. You know what I mean? Or what it's intended to be. You know, like, you know, I was asked, you know, the other day was, you know, is all weed, you know, from the city, you know, laced with fentanyl? And I was like, I have no idea. But if it is, you don't want to go buy from that guy. Like, you know, and that's the crazy thing, too, is like people are like evil. Moving forward. So you do a lot of interviews, podcasts, kind of like what I do, you know, like talk to people, kind of get the story. What's your motivation behind your platform with Sebastian Good? Like, what is your overall message or motive for what you do?
I mean, definitely my first motive is to legalize and destigmatize cannabis, you know?
Perfect motive.
And then I did really fall in love with FASPA's genetics, and that's why I pitched actually originally a podcast to them, but not a vodcast, just like a, you know, old fashioned podcast without, and then we talked, they liked it, and then we talked, and they said that, yeah, but video is what we're really looking for. And then, you know, I developed this a little bit like this health education kind of thing, like, and then strain reviews and reports, more reports, I like to call them more reports. As I report on the strain from our perspective, not like I'm not reviewing it. It's not my footage necessarily. I use all the best footage I can find to use that. And that is my motivation then with this, and why I am this year much more doing interviews and connecting with the community. It's because we need to connect. We need to be like a big team. Otherwise, we are not going to get anywhere, you know. And as I said, we have to stand up for it for ourselves, and we have to report about it, and we have to make it fun and entertaining and, yeah, hang out with each other. And that's why I love to go to fairs like CannaFest is coming up. I know BizCon is coming up, you know. And so...
Are you coming to BizCon?
I don't know. I mean, I wish. I've heard. I've heard rumors there might be a slight chance that it works. Yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago, I said no, I'm not coming. But like, I heard there might be some slight chances that we're coming. So, would be fun.
Wait,
man.
FASPA is coming.
Yeah, if you said, I would come with FASPA's, yes. I mean, then we would come as
well. Definitely, let me know, because I definitely want to get you guys in person. You know, because I love doing podcasts over the internet. But I'm looking, and that's the whole purpose of me. Last year during BizCon, we did 22 interviews with vendors and different, you know, people. We interviewed people like Josh Kesselman, you know, Exotic Genetics, who I have another interview set up with already. Soulfire Genetics, we're going to be talking to them. We talked with Bayleaf, you know, whole bunch of really good names. So, yeah, if you're going to be in MJ BizCon, we're actually going to get there on the 25th. The event starts the 28th, but me and that's Lacey, nice. My wife, we're going to be doing some sightseeing and, you know, going to the Grand Canyon and doing some other stuff, you know, just to hang out for a little bit. Yep. But, yeah, once you get in town or whatever, let's definitely get together. Do you know where you might be staying?
No, I mean, as I said, this is a very slight chance. It's just literally came up today as a suggestion. So, you know, it would Fingers be smart crossed. For us to come, but I mean, I'm not in charge for that. And I am doing this, I realize this, I am a video producer and I love Fastbuds, yep. and I love growing Fastbuds, but I am, and I really represent and stand for it, but I am, as a person, not Fastbuds in terms of business, you know, like I literally do the vid, and this is good to put
myself
in.
Yeah, you're content creator for them.
Yeah, so if they really, I have an idea and I say, hey man, we can do this at BizCon, let's do it, this is my ideas. You want to do that, you know, like basically what you said, have a shit ton of interviews, talk to a million people and I just have, you know, make connections and meet these people in person and let plans speak. We were just in Vienna at the fair and I always try to make sure now this year that there's always going to be Fastbuds around, like that there's weed, you know, it's not that easy because we come from sometimes, you know, I was in Vienna in Austria, like cannabis is illegal there. So, you know, I have to find a way of how to get Fastbuds there, you know, like the buds, bring them and like not necessarily mine, sometimes mine and sometimes other people, but then meet the grower too who grew them and talk with them about it, you know, that is what it's about. That like that I think what is making the cannabis community special, it's like we're like a family, you know, you have this one deep connection to the plant and that makes the person just automatically family in a sense.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, with that sense, you start to identify with people, like I said, who are like you, who care about these characteristics and the same, like, details that you do. And that also helps your influence, too. Plus, it helps your knowledge base, you know. Now you've met this guy over here, and he just taught you something totally new that you, you know, the whole time of growing or whatever, you never knew. And I love that factor, you know. And that's why I think it's so important, you know, just in general, is connection, communication, learning. Like Warren Buffett. I don't know if you know who Warren Buffett is, but he's like one of the richest people here. Okay, cool. Well, you know, he says the best investment is education. They can't take it away from you. And, you know, the more you learn is the more you earn. And you'd be stupid, honestly, to not invest in education or invest in these podcasts of talking with people or anybody's podcast and learn the information. You're investing so much money in these lights, these setups, these systems. It's not cheap, you know, to get something really good going. And you're going to skip out on the education.
No, it's yeah, exactly. It's like what you need to talk to people and find a common ground. And then I met on this trade show now somebody who really does amazing hemp clothing, like on another level. It's like it's not hemp, it's just elegant, cool, urban, but a bit like alternatively hippie-ish kind of, but not hippie, like also suits and stuff, like everything. And so that was interesting to meet somebody who has a passion for fashion and the plant, but for a completely different reason, you know, for the fibers, not for the, you know, not for the THC, not for the CBD, not for all the terpenes. And it's just, that was like mind-blowing, and that just opens up your world. And I think when you go with an open heart and an open mind and talk to people, you will not just, you will learn little bits and pieces while you make friends and you meet, you know, people who have the same mission. And that is, I think, what drives me, and that's why it's so hard sometimes for me to take a break from what I'm doing and just keep on going, you know. And that's why I am going to take a break, like tomorrow or the day after. I'm gonna be on a vacation for 2 weeks this time, really, like no computer with me, just really taking a time out just to slow down and reset myself again.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And have you ever heard the song from Billy Joel, Vienna?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh man, you gotta listen to it. In the song, the lyric, couple of lyrics go, one of them goes, you can get what you want or you can just get old. And another one says, don't afraid to be the take the phone off the hook for a while. So, you know, it's good to sometimes step away, you know, and do that, you know. And sometimes, you know, even myself, you know, there's this concept in business that I'm learning where the less I work, the more I make. And the sense of that is, is when you delegate stuff to people that you can, you know what I mean, and have them take care of certain aspects, it frees your time up. And with that time, you can do a lot more than what it would cost you to just be stuck on that one task. And by paying somebody else to do it is not nearly the cost of not having available time. And, you know, time is your number one asset in life. You know, it's something that, it's like an illusion. You think you have it, but then you don't have it. You think there's a lot of it, and then there's a little bit amount of it. And one of those things is, it's really, you know, being able to have that balance, being able to say, you know, I need to step away, I need to take a break, I need to relax, so, you know, you don't get burnt out. You know, it's important, you know, for you, and that way you come back recharged, more excited, more passionate about it, because you have that clarity. So I think that's awesome. Where are you going?
We're gonna go to Sardinia. So checking out Sardinia, okay. Italy. But yes, what you were saying with the time, yes, it is like that. But as I said, the community, sometimes it sucks me in, and my work and then my own needs to, like, I have doing like premieres / lives where I would be on Twitch. I'll do those, like the Fastbuds talks. So, and the last some episodes were all like, I had 4 to 7 interviews in them. In each episode, you know, and I would run them every 2 weeks for some time. And I was like, this was amazing. It was like on a level I connected with people during that time was amazing. But I had like bam, 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 one after the other. And I loved it. And I said, it sucked me in and I want to do it. But I want to do it more thoughtful and a bit, you know, not letting it overwhelm myself as much, because then that way I will be even more focused and can be even more there for the community and for the plant, you know, if I'm like treating myself right as well. And I need a break, like once in a while you just really need a disconnection, I think, and I haven't had that in forever, so I really want to do that.
Make sure you bring some good weed with you. You don't want to go empty-handed. You bring your packs with you.
Yeah, I have like 7 or 8 of them, and then I just
That's funny.
And I just filled my first era. This is a PAX too, but the liquid one. And I my first one myself, because you can't get them here in Europe yet, but soon you will be able to get them with CBD, and whenever they legalize it, also with THC. But yeah, let's see.
They have a date in mind that might happen, or is that still up in the air?
Well, I mean, that if you go to the PAX stand now at the trade shows, the errors are already laying there. So they're already informing the B2B kind of, you know, for that, just, hey, just as you know, it's just so you know, soon, you know, kind of that kind of thing. I think they're securing probably like the pods. That's the thing. They don't fill the pots themselves. They're not in the business of making. They always work with great companies together who fill them. You know, they have in the U.S. they have like live rosin pots and all these kind of very high standard. And I think that's securing that here in Europe right now. So that's just what they're waiting for, I think.
Yeah, I just don't want to get this whole mouse and this, you know, chasing mouse game where it's like, just make up your mind. I think really what it comes down to is they got to figure out how they're going to make money off of it before they allow us to do it. Once they figure out how to make their money off of it, they'll be like, you know what, you can do whatever you want. As long as we're getting paid, you know what I mean? And I think that's stupid. I think it's like, the people have spoken, you know, and I think it's just so crazy. It's like, you know, you go to like, see, even in like United States, like you go to like Maryland just legalized weed, you know? So this whole almost two years now, Virginia's been legal. If you go over to Maryland, which Virginia and Maryland, you know, you can drive across the bridge to get through in multiple points of Virginia or, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, well, now you can't smoke in that. And it's like, I drove 10 minutes and over one bridge and now I can't smoke weed because it's illegal here. But if I drive 10 minutes and over that bridge, it's not legal. You know, I mean, it is legal. So it's just like, I just don't get it, dude.
Yeah, it's very interesting what's happening in Germany right now. Let's really hope. I mean, it is really like, it's been the closest it's ever been. And Germany is a big country here in Europe. And it has a certain, like, guidance, you know, character. And, like, I think there are some countries just waiting for Germany to do this step. But then there is other ones. And some of them you wouldn't maybe maybe not even expect. It's like Sweden, for example. They seem so liberal, but they're so highly against legalizing cannabis. So, and as you know, in the EU, you need more countries to want it than not, and that will just take a little while. But I think it's the right first step. You know, let's see.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I mean, you only got one chance, so you got to shoot your shot when you get a chance.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. So which so other fast food strategy? Oh, no, you said you grew gorilla cookies, and which was the other
gorilla
one again?
Gorilla cookies and the LSD auto.
Yes, the LSD. Did she like, was she like super purple? Because the LSD is like super purple normally.
Yeah, so, okay, so it's kind of funny because I've had two versions of it because, you know, with this, with the seed pack, you get multiple. I had a couple that were seriously like, almost like crushed velvet, dark purple. And then I had some that were just green. And I couldn't figure it out. It was like the same seed pack. And it's like some came out green and then some came out really purplish. And I'm not exactly sure how it happened. But I've had two variations of color.
I mean, you can have, you know, depends on always the batch with autos, of course. And you know, it's always batched based with autos. Because you can't keep genetics, you know. So they're always evolving. You know, and that is the trick a little bit to how you keep on great genetics and how you keep a lot of great genetics around for decades. They improve, you know, they improve and improve because the pheno hunting is basically happening constantly from batch to batch to batch to batch. And yeah, so of course you have sometimes like phenos, other different phenos around. I mean, of course, with autos is almost impossible to not have different, you know, phenos in your pack.
Yeah, I mean, nonetheless, I mean, great profile. I'm actually gonna link in photos from the actual grow because I have all my photos from when I first started of them, so I can just show them up on here. But I've always had great results, and you know, like I said, I started as an auto grower, and then when I've transitioned into photos, you know, I had to learn, you know, like pretty much not, it's not like really a learning curve, but I was like, oh wow, you know, you gotta switch the light, you know, you can veg longer, you know, there's some trade-offs. But you know, when you talk about a plant that can produce in, you know, 65 to maybe 115 days, I think it was one of the longest autos I had going, you know, that's amazing compared to, you know, traditionally, if you're not doing like a turn and burn method, because like right. Downstairs in my 4x4, we do a turn and burn method, so you know it's very quick. So I always have.
How long do you veg then?
So when we do the turn and burn on the 1 gallons, we're vegging for about 2 to 3 weeks, and then we're flipping the flower from clone. So we'll clone out everything. Yeah, and you do pretty good. Like my last harvest, I think I did like maybe. I don't know. I don't ever weigh it because, like I said, I don't sell it. But I guesstimate probably maybe like 13 to 15 ounces, you know.
Nice.
You know, for, yeah, and these aren't a lot of plants either. You know, it's a small quantity. So, you know, for that rotation, it's pretty good. And that's kind of what I like is the ability to have consistency and, you know,
yeah, of course. Like I mean, this all depends on if you really find your unicorn, if you find your one pheno, your one plant you like the most, the taste the most. If you have a cutting of that one, of course, that's like you keep her and then that's it. You just keep her for forever and you can use her. You can always grow her. You can. Yep. That's a different kind of story for sure. And I suggest you should get your hands on the Gorilla Cookies FF. That's not an auto. You can keep a mother of that if you find the right pheno for you.
There you go. No, believe me, I'll definitely look into getting some more fast buds, you know, and I definitely want to be on that show with everybody and, you know, talk to everybody, you know, because that's my biggest thing. Sure. Is right now it's really getting out there and really getting to know the community. You know, networking is huge, and as a business owner outside of cannabis, you know, networking is key. You know, and having those relationships and that knowledge and that free flow of information just kind of going through the community is so huge. And, you know, a lot of times I feel like there's so many fucking haters in the world, you know, and there's so many people that are just like angry and pissed off because you're doing something. And there's a voice on Instagram that says, somebody that's doing more than you will never criticize you for what you're doing. You know what I mean? And I think that's important to remember when you're out there and you're watching people. You know, there are people living life and there are people watching others live life. And you really got to be, or decide to be, which spectrum you want to be on. Because when you put yourself out there, the possibilities of what you can do, who you can meet, who you can reach are endless. You know, and that's why it's so important for people, like you say, you know, to come out, talk about this, influence other people. Like, I can't tell you how many people I know that have been on my podcast. You know, in our podcast, we've had lots of discussions about, like, mental health. We've talked about incest and rape. We've talked about art therapy. We've talked about mental health. We've talked about great cannabis. We've talked about a whole wide range. And the ultimate, you know, denominator of what we come up with is, you know, cannabis heals. You know, cannabis helps those in need. And that's kind of one of the things, is you're naive to think that, you know, it may not be for you, you know. So
I mean, I never say before you take other drugs, try weed. That's what I would tell you. Yeah, before you
that's a good disclaimer.
Before you try to take even certain, like, you know, a little painkiller to try to, you know, I'm just saying, like, even like an ibuprofen, something like, you know, not like a, something serious, but even rather than take that, see if weed is not working the same way for you. You know, you don't have to overdo it, but you know, it is medicine, you know, and it can help your mind, and it can help open up your thoughts and your, so, and it can heal you. So it has so many benefits, and that is also not talked enough about, you know, like we really might need to press that, you know. It's like not fair for a lot of people that they have to take other drugs because they can take cannabis as medicine, and that's just crazy, you know.
Well, and that's what I hate is, like, you know, like even right now, like I take depression and anxiety meds, right? And I've never really dealt with depression and anxiety in the early part of my life. It only came up like recently after a really bad car accident where I almost died in, and that's also what's given me a lot of like the motivation and inspiration behind what I'm doing. But I already had that mainly before the accident. It's just kind of amplified it. But even that sense, you know, it's just like, there's just so much value. And when you can look at a situation like a plant and say, you know, instead of taking X amount of pills, I could just go smoke a joint and get the same relief or same satisfaction or the same high or whatever. And I can't tell you on our podcast how many people we've talked to with alcoholism or opiate addiction or, you know, any type of addiction, and how they've turned to cannabis, and cannabis has given them a second chance, you know. And it's you know, it's still not widely spread, you know. And that's kind of like my mission, is to like get out there and talk to real people who have real feelings, real lives, real situations, and be like, how does this fix things? What do we need to know from the community?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for inviting me, and thank you for doing this for the plant. I mean, we just need to, you know, we all need to step up for what we want. And if it's important enough for you, you know, that you really want to live, spread the word for the plant, and do it, you know. And it is always obviously hard for people when you don't live in a situation where it's legal, you know. So there is people who maybe have to stop growing sometimes and go into activism for that sense, because otherwise it's too dangerous, you know. I'd never do that, you know. I could never imagine to just be an activist for the plant and not grow, because I want my own herbs, because I know what's in my herbs. I know what I'm growing. I know where they come from. They're like my babies, and that's the weed I want, you know.
No, totally agree with you. And that's the thing, is it's clarity, you know, it's trust, it's, you know, organic, it's real. And that's, you know, and when you're in your garden, it's therapeutic. I mean, just the amount of time that I spend, you know, with these plants, you know, and just the relief, like, you know, you could have a bad day, go in and look at your beautiful plants and flower or in veg and stuff, and it changes you, you know, it brings that happiness, you know, at least for me, you know. Absolutely. I definitely feel good when I see my plants, and, you know, it's life. And another thing too, I think gives you a sense of, you know, satisfaction and appreciation for life. I've, you know, ever since I started smoking and doing like psychedelics, especially like mushrooms, I feel like I've had a greater appreciation for nature, and I feel like I noticed a little bit different things that maybe I did before. One thing I definitely did was strip me of all like the materialistic wants that I had, because I used to like be very materialistic. Like I had like 10 pairs of Oakleys at one time. I don't know where any of them are now, but you know, like now I get like, you know, sun, you know, 7-Eleven, you know, gas station, you know, sunglasses, because usually I lose them, you know what I mean? So it can do a lot to your mind and body if you allow it. The problem is, and like, you know, reverting us all to the beginning, is it's about mindset, you know, it's about clarity. And if you're seeking that and you can understand, and I love how you said, you know, it's a tool, because I definitely use it as a tool. Like, you know, I've done trips where I'm by myself and I'm just walking around in the woods, to riding bicycles, to being at the pool, to being at like a full on blown out warehouse rave or an outdoor festival, you know, to just, you know, in the middle of the night by myself walking through the neighborhood, you know, tripping on LSD, you know. And it's just the ability to see yourself in a different light. And I think that psychedelics definitely helps you identify who you are, you know, especially internally, at least for me. And I feel like in a way I've kind of grown and learned about myself a lot more, especially what I can handle and not handle, you know, on a sense of like, you know, maturity or just levels in general, you know. And I think, you know, that's what we're all looking for, is that control.
Yeah, but I said, you said in the beginning about nature, that's definitely a big thing as well for me, but not just, I think it happened naturally about over the course of the last decade too. So yes, in a sense, it like brought me, the closer I got to cannabis, the more connected with nature and natural living, you know, and trying to find a more natural way to, you know. But on the other hand, the materialistic part does come in, and I'm sure for you too, in a sense, when it comes to growing and vaping and smoking and stuff like that. I'm not like materialistic, but I am for the best experience. And then you can have like test different lights and test different nutrients and ways. So that is a way where some of the money goes, which you might have spent on other things before.
Yeah, or you better get sponsors.
Yeah. I know those ones somehow, you know, I have some seeds somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, same thing with the packs. I mean, I would never have 7 packs. I probably have 2 if I would have to buy them, you know, but so I don't. So now I have 7. It's nice.
Well, and it's convenient. You know, and that's the reward of bringing information and value. When you can identify to a company, and we have a lot of sponsors. I mean, half of this room was put together by sponsors. So
what lights, you know, are those, by the way? They look a little bit like Evos.
So we're sponsored by HLG. HLG okay. Runs all of our lights in our house. These are the Diablos, nice. Scorpions. We're about to switch these out to their new Tomahawk 750s. They're just as big, but they're their bar style light. Okay. And we've been running HLG for a long time now, and we absolutely love our HLG lights. And they're a great company. You know, they've donated everything that we've needed, you know, but it's also, you know, not just a donation, but it's the value, it's the education, it's the video content, it's all the things that we're doing with these companies that provide value to the company. And once, absolutely, in any situation, once you become a valuable person, you know, and being able to offer things back, you know, your world changes of who you connect with, what they're able to do with you, what they want to do with you. And, you know, that ability is just priceless, you know. And that's why it's so important that, you know, whether you're starting on day one or you're on day 50, you know, it's all about passion. It's all about energy. It's all about movement. And the idea that we're constantly moving forward and we constantly are putting out energy, the universe listens, you know what I mean? Like, I've been doing this for a year and a half now. And, you know, I'm not like any rock star or anybody like to brag about, but you know what I mean? The amount of influence, how many people I've taught how to grow weed for the first time, how many people, you know, have watched my series, you know, on YouTube, you know, right now, I mean, obviously a small amount of number, because, you know, we have a very small following still. So if you want to like and subscribe, now's your chance. But, you know, we have 356 hours of watch time right now on YouTube. And for us, you know, that's pretty big, you know, considering, you know, we only have, I think, almost 1,400 followers on YouTube. You know, we just started YouTube about like 6 months ago heavily, and we already have like 267 episodes on there of all long format. Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, as a content creator, you know, it's just, it's the love and passion for what you do. And I definitely see that through you. And that's why, you know, I, you know, wanted to get you on the series is, you know, when you deal with passionate people, it's a different type of outcome that you cannot pay for. You cannot fake. You cannot, you know, disguise it. If somebody really loves what they are, you see that in everything that they do. And those are the people that you want to follow, support, like, you know, like Hi Again, like Basement Grows Show. You know, these are all people that work very, very hard to put content out there, you know, to help you, just like I'm trying to do. You know, and it's a community of those who want to teach, and then there's a community of those who want to learn, and the community that wants to learn is way bigger.
Yeah, but there's also, and this is what I like so much now with the ways of I've been changing up the FastBuds talks a little bit, is like I've been talking more with growers, like people who are willing to come on, just like who grew something, and people who are usually just in the chat, and they come on now and show face and say hi to the community, and having that put together, that is really something. It's now a family. Like really, FastBuds has always felt that way a little bit to me, because very small company, you know, very tight. But you know, and then they grew and grew and grew and grew, and but still, it has that feel. And now the community really feels much, very much like a family to me.
Well, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you being on the show. I have to wrap things up because we actually have another podcast after this one. But I definitely want to have you back on the show. Definitely want to connect with you on a lot of different levels. And I really hope that you make it to MJ BizCon, because if you've never been to Vegas, it'll change your life. I mean, it is so cool, and just the things you get to see and really the people that you get to experience. And if you're out there watching this right now, if you've never been to one of these marijuana conferences, whether you're in Spanibus or whether you're here in the United States, it is a who's who. And the opportunity to network, meet, and greet some of these people that you may never have access to on an ordinary basis. Like when we went up to Josh Kesselman, he was at his booth. We said, hey, you know, I'm a huge fan of yours. I actually have your product in my pocket. You're the only, you know, papers I use. Can I get an interview? And he said yes. And then that's how we got our interview. So, I mean, that's the value, is these people are, you can reach them, touch them, and they'll answer your questions. They'll give you insight. And if you are in the industry, whether you're a commercial grower or home grower, you get to see of all the innovations and all the real brands and companies who have nothing to do with cannabis that are coming into the cannabis space, like Cat Construction, Bank of America. You know, some of these companies are there, and they're all for cannabis. So it's all changing.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, and for me, it was at Spanibus when I met Ed Rosenthal. Really, like, whoa.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That's Ed Rosenthal right, over there. Can I have an interview? And he said, yeah, just on my cell phone. Like, we did a quick interview. It was really fun.
You see, and that's the value. That's exactly what I'm talking about, you know? And where would you get that anywhere else? You know what I mean? To be able to track him down, to be in the same room he is, just to be like, hey, real quick, can I just get you on camera? Sure. Bam. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? That's amazing.
Yeah. And then there's cups, you know, like the Spanibus Cup or also the Autoflower World Cup, where I won this one this year, you know? So that is
congratulations, by the way.
Thanks very much. That was special to me, because it was a personal success, you know. It was, of course, a fast but success because the genetics are amazing, but it was a personal success to grow that winning plant, you know. That's nice. But yeah, no, that is awesome. Fun, you know. You go like have this during the day, and then at night you go to like a cup or some, like, you know, concert which is happening at a social club, where you can, you know, where you can consume and have fun. So there is that part of Spandevis to it, which is a lot of fun, definitely, to come to, too. Have you ever been?
No, I plan to. I just haven't been yet.
Come. We'll meet you at the
Fastbook
stand.
Well, if I come, we're definitely doing it. Yeah, we're going to say we're definitely going to have to get together and do an in-person one. I'm not sure if it'll be next year or not, but it is on our list to get overseas, especially just in general, because originally I'm from Romania. I was adopted. But, you know, to be able to, you know, experience the weed culture in a different country, plus, you know, like Amsterdam, some of these other, you know, places where they really have like a lifestyle built into it. I mean,
Barcelona
very cool.
is a little bit like that. Barcelona is very cool like that, for sure, man. And then yes, of course, Amsterdam, just older, you know. But Barcelona during Spanibus week is really, it's worth just to visit. I mean, you fly into Amsterdam and then fly down to Barcelona and fly back home from Barcelona. That might be a great trip, because Spain, don't go to Spain or Barcelona if it's not Spanibus week. If you want to go for the cannabis feel, Spanibus is the place to go, definitely.
Well, that is fantastic. I definitely want to get you on again so we can maybe talk about, like,
and we talk on Fastbus Talk soon, no? When I come back from vacation.
Yeah, definitely. And then get you back on Spokebusters, because I am looking at different topics, different forums. Plus, I'm trying to get my own group of people together for a panel chat. So a lot of great things. I can't thank you enough for what you do for the community, all your work that you provide, your content, your interviews, all the stuff that you do to help out. You know, it's really valuable. And learning from you, you know, seeing what you do is very inspiring. And I definitely, people need to be able to find you. So how can we support you? Where can we find you?
Sebastian Good 420 am I on Instagram. And then, of course, the YouTube from Fastbuds.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on this podcast. Get ready, because we have a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of traveling, especially next year. Follow his podcast, follow his channel, follow me, and make sure you stay in for updates and more information. We'll talk to you guys next time.
It's 420 somewhere.
It actually is 422 right now.
That's great. So I took my Zenko at exactly the right time. Perfect, man.